If you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Wonderful text of Scripture that we're going to be investigating today. Wonderful text. And I know I've already asked you, how many of you are ready? You've anticipated, you've prepared, you've planned for the new year. You have those resolutions written out, or at the very least, you have those resolutions written on your heart. You've already thought about the direction you want to go, some things that you want to do differently this year. I know always is a desire for us to lose weight. I know that's something that we do. It seems like every year we decide we're going to lose weight. A couple of years ago, I did that, ended up losing 33 pounds through the year. Praise God for that. Since then, I've gained 40 back. But we have plans. We're going to take some time. We're going to dream a big dream, and we're going to try and figure out what it is we want this next year to look like. Many of you are praying and asking God that He would help you to have a better job. And I want to share with you the best way to do that is to better yourself, to find an area in your life that you need to focus on. And then you work on that as far as it comes to your livelihood. And then you try and get that education and you work hard. And I believe God opens those doors for you. But you have to have a plan. You have to have a dream. You have to have a desire. And if you don't have a desire, a plan, a dream, then I want to tell you, you're going to look back at the end of 2014, and you're going to turn around and look, and nothing different is going to have taken place in your life. Amen or oh me? Oh me. This morning, we're going to look at a scripture, and what I want to talk with you specifically about, though, is having a great appetite to dream and to plan and to see your life change. But I want to see it change differently maybe than you do. What I want to see is that you have an appetite for the Word of God. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to share with you three things concerning the Word of God on how you can be a fruitful follower of Jesus. Let's face it, that should be every one of our greatest desires, is to be a fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. If you've claimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've repented of your sin, you've turned to King Jesus, you are a child of God here this morning, if that is you, then your greatest desire should be a fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that with you this morning. And so if you would, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 13. If you would, stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew 13, we'll probably read verses 1 through 9 this morning. On that same day, Jesus went out of the house and He sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered together to Him, so that He got into a boat and He sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and birds came, they devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Verse 7. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Will you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, today, in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, what we do is we take time right now and we humble ourselves in Your presence. We come before Your throne of grace. We stand before You humbly as our Lord and Savior. Father, I ask that You would take our hearts, that You would take our lives, that You would mold us to become the individual You have created us, You have called us to be. Father, if there's an area of our lives that needs to be chiseled away in order for us to become more like You, then I pray that You would chisel that away in our lives this year so that we would resemble You even more than we do. And Father, this morning, that we would truly have a desire, that we would learn how to be fruitful followers of King Jesus. Lord, today we come, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you a question. How many of you would really like to be someone who is an influencer for King Jesus? Wouldn't you like to be an influencer? Wouldn't you like to be that individual that God has called to be a child, that you have confessed your sins, you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Now you and King Jesus are best buddies. God speaking to your heart in such a mighty way that you've grown every day in your relationship with King Jesus, and your desire as we gather together this morning is to be fruitful in every area of your life. If that's your desire, just say amen this morning. You want to be fruitful as a follower, as a Bible-believing man or woman of God, as an individual that God has saved by His grace and His mercy. I'm so thankful that God created us to love Him the way we do. Amen. But let me say this. I'm so glad that God loves us the way He does. Because if God didn't love us the way He loves us, friends, then we wouldn't be gathered together this morning. There'd be no hope. We would be lost and undone without King Jesus. But this morning, I want to challenge you on three ways to help you move closer to becoming a fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. As the parable talks about this morning, we see that as you surrender your life to King Jesus, as the Word of God is planted in your heart, that you begin to produce fruit that is 30, 60, and 100-fold more than you can imagine. And that's where we all want to be as believers. That should be our heart's desire. And so this morning, just quickly, I want to run through these four soil types, if you'll allow me to do that quickly this morning. Four ways, really, what this is about is you understanding there are four ways for you to receive God's Word. Four ways. And let me say this. In our lives, we fall into the category of each one of these at some point or another. This is not always about four individuals, but sometimes this describes you even as a Christ follower. And so I want to make that clear this morning. It is about individuals, but also this encapsulates who you are as a believer at some point in your life as well. And the first thing that I share with you is this. We are hard-hearted towards the Word of God. We're hard-hearted towards the Word of God. And ultimately what Jesus is saying is, He says this, that some seed fell by the pathway and the birds came down and they swooped it up. Some seeds, they fell. As we go about, as the farmer had gone about, I don't know if he had all of his seed in this seed thingamabobby, what do you call that thing? Anyway, and he's just going, and he's seeding his yard, so to speak, right? And he's winding it up, and he's walking along his yard. And you know that if that yard's not tilled up real well, what's going to happen is someone's going to bounce over here, and it's going to hit the concrete, right? You've seen it happen. Or maybe it's the same thing for the farmer. As you've gone down the road, you've seen, even as he has scattered his seed, that you see wheat or some of the other crops growing right there on the side of the road. You've seen that. But something that you don't see, and the reason you don't see it is because it's been removed, is some seed falls on the pathway where it has been packed down, where it cannot reach its full potential. Ultimately, what happens is this. It's like the Word of God goes in one ear and out the other. There's no cork on the other side. There's nothing to hold it in. It's empty. You hear the Word of God just like I'm preaching this morning. You're hearing it, but when you leave here, it's all over. You don't pay any attention to what you've heard. You leave unchanged by the Word of God, hard-hearted. That's what happens to a lot of it. Ultimately, let me share this. The reason that is the way it is for individuals is because Satan comes and he snatches the seed of the Word of God out of your heart immediately as you hear it. It's what the Scripture says. It's what the Word talks about. And so some's hearts have been hardened. They're here this morning, or maybe you're here this morning because a family member asked you to come, but you're really hard-hearted towards the Word of God. I remember a time in my life, my very life, where that was how it was for me, where I was just hard-hearted towards the Word of God. I didn't want to hear anything that God had to say. I didn't want to read His Word. I didn't want to study His Word. I wanted it to be what it was, the Word of God, but I didn't want it to apply to my life. I think many of us can say, yes, I've been there, preacher. I've been a moment in my life where I have been hard-hearted towards the Word of God, and God's Word has been snatched away from my life. from my hearing. The other thing that I submit to you as we look at these different soil types quickly as I can is some are shallow-hearted. It means some word, it falls in the soil, but it's very short-lived because it isn't deep soil. And so we move off of the pathway of the road where the bird come and snatch it, and right there on the side of the road where some of the crop grows occasionally, you see this. What happens to this? At this point is that it begins to grow. It hears. Immediately it hears, and it even responds. It's really an emotional descent, an experience with God. And we mess up so many times in church because we feel that we're emotional about making a decision. God's moving me. I can feel you moving me, Lord. And we come up and we make a decision for Christ here today, and by Tuesday, we're back to our old habits. We don't even wait. We, like the seed that falls on the pathway, we leave and we're unchanged. But the shallow soil, the shallow heart, is like that individual who is just a little bit of depth there. But what happens is the sun comes out and scorches the roots and it dies. In our own lives as individuals, this would represent when the going gets tough, we get going. Instead of leaning and depending upon God, the sun comes out and the problems of the world burden us to the point where we no longer lean and trust in God, but we go out and we decide, you know what, it's not working, I'm going to make my own way. And so the Word of God is not penetrating the way it needs to. Kind of like an Alka-Seltzer Christian. You know, you ever flop, flop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is, but when the bubbling stops. And that's how a lot of us are as Christians. It's an emotional ascent kind of experience with us. So many people walk the aisles of one denomination after another, whether it's Baptist or whatever else. They walk the aisle. They say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But what happens is they don't repent of their sin in trusting Jesus, and they leave unchanged. And I want to tell you, I want to say this, I believe this, that churches are full of people who have claimed to be Christian that are lost, dying, and going to hell. I want to tell you what the difference between a Christian. A Christian is someone who claims that Christ is their Savior, but a Christ follower is someone who lives it out on their day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis. And so you've got to decide who you are. I want to claim that I'm a Christian, I'm a little Christ, but it's better for me as a Christ follower to say that He has changed me from the inside out, and as a result, I'm going to be obedient to His Word. I'm going to do what Christ has called me to do. And then the third thing here as we look at it this morning is the one that falls among thorns. You know, there's this seed that falls among thorns, and it's a beautiful picture. They're people who are serving in the church. God's really speaking to them. They even tear up, and God really moves in their hearts, and they know the Lord. They've experienced the Lord. They've seen God work in their lives and in the lives of others. They're men and women who at one point are Christ followers, but then all of a sudden the problems of this world come up and choke them to the point where they say it's just not worth it, and then they back away. They fall away. It may be 20 years of you serving King Jesus, and then for whatever reason something happens to you that's devastating in your life, and you fall away. It's the worries of this world coming in and choking you out. And then you decide for whatever reason that you're just going to stay home from church today. You're just not going to read the Word today. It's not that you don't love Jesus. It's not that Jesus doesn't love you. It's that you don't feel like going through the motion of being choked out from the worries and the burdens of this world any longer. And so you walk away. And I thank God as we studied our Sunday school lesson this morning, we see the scripture in John chapter 15, as was said, that you and I are those who need to remain in King Jesus. We've got to remain in King Jesus. We've got to continue regardless, especially because of the circumstances in our life. We've got to remain faithful to keep our nose to the Word of God so that the Word of God can speak to our hearts. And when we do that, I'm telling you, then you won't be choked out from the thorns and the thistles of this world. And the last thing, quickly, as we look at these different, not the last of the message. This is just kind of a precursor to the three things that I want to share with you this morning. But then the last is this seed that falls in good soil. It's planted deep. And then it's covered up and it's taken care of. It's nurtured. It's watered from above. And then what we see is that when this becomes who you are, when this becomes who I am as a believer, then lives, not only is our lives changed, but then according to the Word of God, then other lives will begin to be changed as a result of who Christ is in you. It says you produce a crop. And you heard him. 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. I'm going to tell you, there was a time in my life where I said, I'm satisfied with 30-fold, friends. I don't want that to be me. I'm not satisfied unless you and I are producing 100-fold. If God is using us that way, then you know that you and I are making an impact for King Jesus. That should be our desire. And then if that's our desire and we're seeking to honor God that way in our lives, even if we only produce 30, at least we've tried for 100. Amen? That should be our heart's desire. And so this morning, I want to share with you three things quickly on how to be a fruitful follower of Jesus. How to be a fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. Number one, if you will, is you've got to develop a hunger for God's Word. How to develop a hunger for God's Word. If we looked at all of these attitudes, the most important thing that you see is the one who was faithful to remain in God, the one who understood where God, what God's role was in their life, they are the ones who produced the greatest fruit. They're the ones who were able to withstand those turbulent, stormy seas. They were the ones who, when the sun came and scorched everything else, they were able to sustain because their roots were firm and deep. And so that's my prayer, that be you, as the Scripture tells us in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in him, then he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so get that verse, understand what it means, and begin to try and understand how that fits with you and your life and where you are as a believer today. And so today, the first thing, number one, is this. I want you to be able to develop a hunger for God's Word. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalms 119, verse 103. He said this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What kind of appetite do you have for the Word of God? I know that some of us, it's probably pretty interesting, actually, that there are a lot of different appetites going on in here this morning. Some of you are extremely hungry, and you're thinking, I can't wait until that man quits preaching so that I can leave, and then I can go, and I can get something to eat. But as you listen to me proclaim the Word of God, what I need you to do is I need you to take that appetite, that rumbling in your gut, and I need you to move that up to your heart. This is what God desires, that this hunger that you have in your belly be moved up to your heart, and that you develop that appetite for the Word of God, because God's Word, it says, the psalmist stated, how sweet are your words to my taste. Friends, when you and I stick our nose into the Word of God, it should be something we enjoy doing. It should be something that tastes sweet to us. You should have an appetite for the Word of God. You should hunger for the Word of God in such a way that when you read it, God fills your soul. But the problem with this is week after week, we have an appetite. And we go out and we satisfy that appetite. And then we have to continue to re-satisfy that appetite. But most of us are satisfying that appetite with the ways of the world rather than the Word of God. And so that's my prayer. I love good food, don't you? How many of you really enjoy a good meal? You know why the French say bon appetit? They want those who are enjoying their meal to really, or who are eating their meal to really, really enjoy it. And let me share with you, when you sit down and you eat a meal, it's not so much about the quality of the meal as it is the appetite that you have when you go into the restaurant or to someone's house and sit down at their table. If you carry with you an appetite, I don't care if it's 3 Big Macs, you're going to enjoy it if you're hungry much more than if you're not hungry and you sit down to eat. And so what you've got to do as a Christ follower is you've got to develop that hunger for the Word of God. You've got to want to devour it. You've got to want to take it and make it your own, because that's exactly what it is. God desires that you take His Word and that it becomes yours, because you've ingested it, you've eaten it, you've enjoyed it so much that when you begin to spew words out of your mouth, they are from the Word of God. How is that possible? Because of what you've been ingesting. If you exercise your right to view trash, then ultimately trash is what's going to come out of your mouth. If you invest in quality material, when you read, then quality material is going to come out. Right or wrong? Amen, I think is appropriate there. There's this farmer, he had a friend in New York City, and some of you are thinking, New York City? Okay, didn't go over. So we'll move on from that. So this farmer, he had a friend. It was in New York City. He went up to visit him. He'd never been to the big city before. And what he saw amazed him when he got there. He and his friend, they began to take a journey, a walk down the sidewalk, and it was loud. The hustle and the bustle of the crowds as they were bumping into him, walking down the sidewalk, the sirens as they were going down the road, the traffic itself, it was all extremely loud. As the farmer and his friend were walking down the sidewalk, the farmer said, "Wait a minute, I heard a cricket." His friend looked at him and said, "What did you say?" He said, "I heard a cricket." Farmer said, "Just listen and you can hear the cricket." And said, "There's no way you can hear a cricket in all of this noise. There's absolutely no way that you heard a cricket. You're mistaken. You have somebody's brakes or something else." Farmer said, "Nope, I heard a cricket." And he looked over on the sidewalk, and there on the sidewalk, there was a flower pot that had been planted there. And inside that, he stooped down, and he dug in the mulch just a little bit, and he pulled up a cricket. "I told you I heard a cricket." So how in the world did you hear that cricket out of all the other racket that's going on out here in this world? How did you hear that cricket? It said, "It's all based on what you're listening for, isn't it?" He said, "Here, let me show you." Reached into his pocket. He pulled out 2 quarters, a nickel, a dime, a couple of pennies. And instead of throwing them in the air at waist high, he just dropped them. And people a block away heard the money. And they began to come over to try and figure out where it was. Some of them even knew that it was 2 quarters, a dime, a nickel, and a couple of pennies. It's all based on perspective, friends. Do you have an appetite? Do you hunger for the Word of God? Because if you do, then it will be sweeter than honey to your taste. Amen? Second thing that I want to submit to you as you begin to develop that appetite is you've got to weed out whatever competes with God's Word. You've got to weed it out. This is what happens in our life as we get choked up. This is what verse 22 talks about this morning. Listen to verse 22. He says this. He says, "Now he who is received among the thorns is he who hears the Word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful." And there are 2 things I want to share with you that keep us from being fruitful for Christ. 2 things quickly. I want to do this. Number one thing is worry. We worry about things so much, and then the other thing is wealth. And so just quickly, I want to talk about these two, the worry and the wealth. How many of you always have something on your mind? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it for a moment. There's always something for you to worry about. Let me share with you that should describe every one of us, because there's something for us all to worry about, but there's a couple of issues with this that I want to tell you. We worry about, first of all, things that we cannot control, like the weather. And we hear of storms coming, things like that, tornadic clouds in the sky, and we worry about these things. Now, God's giving you enough sense to get out of the weather if these kind of storms are approaching. But you can't worry about them coming through. You can't change it. Nothing you can do to change it, so don't worry about it. And then there's these things that you can change, and then we still worry about it. Now, my question to you is, if there's something that you can't change, why do you worry? And if it's something that you can change, why do you worry? And the other thing is wealth. There's this thing going on in our life, and we want to be able to meet all of those needs. And a lot of times it's financial. Those are our issues, is financial issues. And what we need to do is, if we will become faithful in the little things with God, being good stewards with what He's given us, then I'm telling you, these financial issues begin to go away as well. But not only is it the financial issues, but it's about the desire to gain more and more and more. And so our worry becomes something that is eating away at us, because our only desire is that we work hard or we attain more. So we do whatever it takes to get more, more and more and more. And it's all based on where your roots are. As we've already discussed that this morning, we've seen through the Word of God that the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the one who hears the Word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out. The deceitfulness is something that you need to focus on for just a moment. When you think about someone deceiving you, who or what do you think about? Satan. He's the great deceiver. He's the one that you and I attribute so many things to. I want to share this with you. A lot of times we give Satan credit where he doesn't deserve it. A lot of times when it comes to certain things in our life, it's simply because it's our heart's desire. And usually the wealth of the world become our heart's desire, and we allow the deceitfulness of wealth to destroy that. That desire that we should have for King Jesus. Let me tell you what the Scripture says about wealth, though. God never says that wealth is bad, but He says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so God doesn't break God's heart that you desire to be wealthy if you're going to take that money and use it for kingdom purposes. But if your heart's desire is for you to become wealthier and wealthier so that you can go spend here and go spend there, and the Word of God says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so you have to be able to see. You've got to decide, what are those things in your life that are competing with God's Word? What is it in your life as an individual? See, I understand what it is in my life as an individual. I know what it is that chokes out the Word. Let me share with you. It's a lot of times it's sports. It's just a fact. For me, that's what it is. I'm a football guy. I love football. If football's on, it doesn't matter if it's Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. I'm going to be in front of the TV. I want to watch football. That's what I want to do. And there's a lot of times in my life, this is confessing. A lot of times in my life, I allow football, sports, to interfere with what I should be doing with King Jesus, or what I should be hearing from God through His Word. And there are things in your life as well. And I don't know what that is. You don't need to confess that to me. You need to confess that to God. But the desire for you should be that it be removed, because nothing in this world should compete with God's Word in your life. That's my prayer for you, is that it won't. Don't allow the things of this world to interfere with your relationship with King Jesus. Nothing. No one. Don't allow an individual to interfere with your relationship with King Jesus. And the last and the final thing that I want to share with you this morning is this, that you need to cultivate a lifestyle of planting God's Word into others. Wow. This is where multiplication begins to take place. This is where influence begins to take place. And something that you may not be aware of is that you have influence in your life. You have the ability to influence other people for Jesus. Amen? Every one of you who are here this morning has an opportunity to influence someone else for Christ. The question is, Will you take that opportunity and become an influencer for the good or for the bad? Because you're going to influence people one way or another. You have to decide what kind of influencer you're going to be. And so as we look at the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 and 7, this is the message that I'm going to read from this morning. But this is what it says. It says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Do you understand that all you've got to be faithful to do is scatter the seed? If you want to be a Christ influencer, if you want to be someone who loves Jesus and it's evident in not only your life, but as people look at you, they see King Jesus in your life, then you have to decide whether you're going to fall, the Word of God falls on the path, if it falls in the shallow soil, if it falls in the thicket, or if it falls in the good soil. Where is it falling for you today? What are your heart's desire? What is your New Year's decision? What are these resolutions that you're seeking to make? And my prayer is that you're deciding that you want to make an effort to take God's word and be fruitful with multiplying, being an influencer in the lives and of individuals that God places in your path. Do you know that I believe that there are divine appointments scheduled for you and I every day, and if not every day, at least weekly there's an opportunity where God places someone in your life and he says, okay, Brad, right here is an opportunity for you to share Jesus with this individual. And understand that it's all about relationship building. There are so many people that you have an opportunity to share the love of Christ with, but you just don't do it. If you really care for people, it's about caring for their souls and understanding that if they don't trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, when they die, they're going straight to hell. And you should care more about people than to just say, somebody else will share, because somebody else may not. And so you should be that one that God uses. I love this. I planted, Paul said. Apollos watered. But God made it grow. And so what you need to do is you look at the Word of God this morning, you need to get your seed scatterer ready. So go on and get it out and get it ready, and then you take that seed and you throw it and you scatter it. And this is the reason, because if you just throw it and scatter it, 25% is still going to fall in good soil. That's what we look at as a math problem here. There are four different soil types, and so if you're scattering it, some of it is going to land in the good soil. You've just got to be faithful as a farmer to make sure that the seed gets planted. Now, when you really get good, what you do is you begin to sense the Spirit. God speaks to your heart, and you begin to understand that this is the individual that God has prepared me for a divine appointment with. And then as you enter into this divine appointment, this situation, then God begins to burden your heart. And there's a level of discernment there. You're not always able to discern that, but some of the time you'll be able to discern. This is an individual that I need to make sure that I share King Jesus with. And so I tell you that it's about relationships. You've got to decide that you're going to be a fruit bearer. So how will you know them? Scripture says this. How will you know if an individual is a Bible-believing man or woman of Jesus Christ? How will you know them? Scripture says you'll know them by their fruits. How many of you are here this morning who claim to be fruit bearers? Someone has said this, unknown. Someone has said anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple. But only God knows how many apples are in a seed. Friends, you've just got to be faithful to scatter the seed and then leave the rest up to God. So maybe you're here this morning. As we enter into this new year, we've got a few days left, but these New Year's resolutions that's being laid on your heart, maybe you're here this morning and you realize, as a believer in Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, you need to be more faithful to be an influencer for Jesus. That you need to be more faithful to see that you as an individual are multiplying. And what that means really is that you're sharing your faith with family and friends. They know who you are in Christ. And they see that difference that Christ has made in your life. And then doors open up for you to go and you to share with them what Christ has done for you. And you become an influencer. And understand that maybe some of that seed is going to fall on the pathway. It does sometimes, doesn't it, brother? Maybe that seed is going to fall. Maybe it's going to be shallow. Maybe for a little while they hear the word. They come. They worship with you for a little while. And then the sun rises and the cares of this world scorch the word. And then it withers up and dies. But maybe it's someone whom God really speaks to, God saves, who comes in, the word's planted in their hearts, but then all of a sudden, maybe 20 years down the road, the worries of this world come in and choke out the word of God in their life. But maybe, just maybe, this is the one that we really want to talk about, isn't it? Maybe, just maybe, you're going and you're loving on people. That's what Jesus said is the greatest commandment. That we would love our neighbors as ourselves, and maybe we're loving on people, and someone says, why are you doing this? And you look at them and you say, because I want you to know God loves you. And when you do that, then seeds are being planted. And that may be the seed that grows. That may be the seed that produces. That may be the seed that becomes a difference maker for the kingdom. That may be the seed. You never know. Who knew 31 years ago that when my grandmother shared the word with me that I was going to be one who would go out and seek to produce fruit? Who knew that? I can assure you, if you look at my family, none of you would have. But see, God has plans that you can never understand, and those are things that you and I have no control over. All we've got to do is be faithful to spread the seed. So this year, my prayer for you is that you would decide to be a fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. We stand this morning. Father in heaven, today, in the magnificent name of Jesus, we ask that you would begin to speak to our hearts even now as we prepare to have an invitation. Lord, it's decision time. I know many of us have gathered, and I know that we've written it down on paper. We have ideas. We've dreamed big about what we want to accomplish in our lives this year as individuals. But Father, as Christ followers, I pray that we would put it on paper, that we would plan, that we would dream big about what we want to accomplish this year for you. Lord, our prayer is that when seed is scattered, that it doesn't fall on the path or in the shallow soil or in the thicket, but Lord, that it falls on the good soil. But Lord, only you know what the outcome is going to be. So help us to be faithful to scatter the seed. Scatter the seed of the Word of God. Help us to live out loud in such a way that people see the love you have for us and the love we have for you, because we're able to love other people. And Father, we ask that you and you alone, through each of our lives, would receive honor and glory. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
What decision do you need to make today?
I have decided.
Maybe it's God has spoken to your heart. You've decided.